Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098, and we'll give you more. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this Friday show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Racer.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Join the show and let's talk some sports, because the sports world and the world is turned upside down, Ray. 718-664-9098. Join in the fun. Hit us up. We love your questions, your comments. You know, what's your feeling about the sports world? At rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet us. Facebook us, YouTube us, we're kind of everywhere for you. And you know who's everywhere? The king. Ray, I got to ask you, right off the bat, with all this crazy stuff going on, from llamas to coaches yelling and people cursing and yeah, 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 wasn't it nice to see a great basketball night on TNT? And to start off that doubleheader, LeBron James said, hold on, y'all. It's not Steph. It's not Harden. It's not Westbrook. I still am the HNIC. And the Cavs get a huge win over the Warriors. Ray, you say what about LeBron James and the Cavs?
I say he's the best player in the NBA, hands down. So the question is he also the MVP? And, you know, we talked about this a little bit off air, and people might get LeBron James fatigued, but we're at a point now where LeBron could be MVP every year. And it would take a spectacular month of March for Steph Curry or for James Harden, because really I think those are the only two that are in contention to win an MVP, because if LeBron keeps going on the trajectory that he keeps going, I got to vote for LeBron for MVP. I mean, it's really unbelievable. And I was pushing for James Harden. So James Harden has to have a good month, a good next, what, 6 weeks?
Really? But listen, a lot of people are saying LeBron, you know, took the first month and a half, 2 months off. And I think some people have LeBron James fatigue. Don't you think the voters at the end of the day, sort of like how Kobe didn't, you know, win it in the 3 years that he should have won it after Shaq, that if the Cavs, and they might have the second best record, they're what, half a game from second with Toronto, but that, you know, maybe it's not his to win this year just because people want something new and fresh like Curry and Harden.
You're 100% right, and I don't think he'll win it, actually. So I'm just saying what I would do. I'm saying that this guy is by far the best player. So if MVP is the best player in the league, then it's LeBron James, hands down. If you're trying to do that old, you know, tricky, proverbial, most valuable, well, then you got a different story, because James Harden, you know, lost his big man. He was supposed to be a double team, you know, double threat with Dwight Howard. And Steph Curry is on a team that for much of the season is going to have the best record in the NBA, but they don't really have any stars. I mean, even Klay Thompson is a good player, but you know, it's not Bird, McHale, and Parrish over there. You know, Draymond Green, and with all due respect, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, you know,
right,
Andrew Bogut.
But that would be a vote for Steph. See, I think the Warriors are so talented that, to me, Steph's got a lot of help where Harden is doing it with nobody. LeBron has help, but
so,
Harden and Anthony Davis, they're, it's all them.
So here's the thing. So I think ultimately, by virtue of Golden State having the better record than Atlanta, and they may finish with they're going to finish with the first or second best record in the league, it looks like. You know, Memphis might catch them, but that's far. That's four in the loss column. So I don't think LeBron's going to win it, but I don't buy the LeBron fatigue argument. If you're going to say, again, and I'm all about this year, you're going to say this year that Steph Curry and James Harden were more valuable to their team than LeBron, then okay. And in fact, because of LeBron, I don't think he'll win it. But I'm starting to come around on that. I wasn't going to give LeBron even consideration, top three or four, but this guy's amazing. And I wouldn't be disappointed if he won another MVP, although I don't predict it. I think one of those guards from the West.
No, you're totally right. And I've come around, too, even though preseason I predicted that he would win it. I was all Curry and Harden, and now I'm actually more – you know, and Davis has fallen off just due to injury, but I'm actually more LeBron and Westbrook because, you know, give Phoenix credit. In that second game, they held on to win in overtime, 117-113. Westbrook had an ugly triple-double because of 38 shot attempts. But what he's been doing lately, and with them potentially climbing up now in the eighth spot, if OKC even gets to, like, five or six, which is very possible – you know, and Durant doesn't, you know, he has surgery over the weekend, doesn't play a major part in that, you know, you might just have to put in Russell Westbrook as the MVP, depending on how Curry and Harden finish out. But look, it's a four-man race. It's going to be great for the NBA. You talk about March Madness, and we'll get into that with college hoops later. The NBA is going to have their own March Madness because in the last couple of years, we haven't really had four guys – that could really be up for it. Do you know what I mean? So that makes it exciting in itself.
Well, that's another thing. I wonder how that's going to split the votes. You know, we have this in college football with the Heisman a lot, right? So you've got three guards from the Western Conference and a swingman from the Eastern Conference. I wonder if that's going to determine the outcome because nobody's going to run away with this MVP.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, he's passed Scottie Pippen as the all-time assist leader for small forwards, which I think...
Yeah, again, that's a lifetime achievement thing, but that's amazing. And not only did he pass him, but how old is LeBron now? 30, 31, something like that?
30. Just turned 30.
So you got to think he's about to run away with... I mean, he'll end up as a top five NBA assist person, so it'll be like a bunch of guards, and... LeBron James. It's kind of like Akeem Olajuwon in steals. You know, everybody's a guard, and then boom, Akeem Olajuwon. So he's going to end up top five in the NBA in assists.
This is a crazy question. Do you think in some ways, and obviously before he won with all the critics, oh, he doesn't want to take the last shot, all that silliness, but is he underrated, LeBron James? I mean, honestly, you know what I mean?
I don't think it's underrated, a four-time MVP and two finals victories. But you know what it is? I think we don't know what to do with him because of his size and his physical skill and the fact that he burst on the scene at 19 and was so good so fast. So I don't know that he's underrated. I don't know.
But his basketball IQ, too. He's such a smart player.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we've seen a LeBron James. Similarly, maybe not quite as extreme, we have never seen a Russell Westbrook type either. But LeBron is so, you know, he's so hard to put in a box. You know, at first we were like, oh, he's not quite Larry Bird. And then obviously he's past Larry Bird. And then we said, well, you know, is he the next Michael Jordan? Maybe he'll never be Michael Jordan in terms of competitiveness and in terms of ability to imprint his, you know, stamp on the game. But the things that he does on the court at his size is pretty unbelievable. You know, it's like a magic at 6'9" was a point guard. We didn't know what to do with that. We were like, what is this guy doing at 6'9"? You know, that's pretty unbelievable.
It's kind of crazy. He's sort of like Jordan, Oscar, and Magic all in one. You know?
Yeah, this guy's amazing. I mean, you know, if he wins, he needs to win more, though, right? Because look at a guy like Tim Duncan's got five rings, and a guy like Kobe's got five rings.
Well, hey, guess what, Ray? Okay, Derrick Rose, knee surgery, goes well today. Could possibly, you know, the Bulls are hesitant on saying it, could possibly make it back in 4 to 6 weeks around the playoffs or so. The season ends in, the first or second week of April. I really think they should try to sign Nate Robinson, but I do think the Bulls' championship run might be over, even though I picked them, and I give you credit, you went with the Cavs. No one knew about this injury. But when you look at Cleveland, and then you look at that West, and how the West, all eight teams are going to beat up on each other, each round they could go seven games, and Cleveland might not even see a seven-game series, Ray. You can make the argument that it's theirs for the taking this year, easier than most people would have predicted.
Absolutely. Not only that, if this were football, you would definitely bet on Cleveland because you'd say, look, they won't be as banged up, literally. Now, in basketball, it's a little different, especially in the playoffs, because you get at least a day off in between games. But if you look at the West and you look at each of those teams, Golden State is a young team. But older teams and teams with big men, you got to think that could be tough. You know, Memphis with Gasol and Zebo up front, logging all those minutes.
That's the real team. I think Memphis, and I said this on the show, I think, last week, I think it's Memphis from the West. And Memphis-Cleveland, that would be a bloodbath, right? Classic.
It'd be fun, but your point is well taken, that the winner of the East is probably going to have a much easier road, and I think it's probably going to be Cleveland, but whoever it is coming out of the East probably is going to have an easy first-round series, maybe a decent second-round series, and maybe a tough Eastern Conference Finals, but the West is going to have three, six- or seven-game series almost guaranteed, whoever it is coming out of the West. So
yeah,
it's going to be much harder.
Oh, definitely. You're right. And let's be honest, in your heart of hearts, with Beal out and Washington sort of going cold and banged up without him, Pierce getting a little hurt again and in and out of the lineup, you know, Cleveland, what, their biggest challenge might be Toronto or Atlanta, and I don't think either of those teams can push them to seven games. I just don't. So the East is going to be, I would hate to say, a cakewalk for Cleveland, but it could just play out perfectly for them. Keep your eye on tonight, an interesting game. Golden State, right, a back-to-back at Toronto. This is a win that Toronto needs to have. And Golden State, Ray, I think last night some people are questioning their toughness. Do you know what I mean? Like, can they really bang? Can they bang with Memphis, the Spurs, you know, or any of these teams in the West that they have to bang with in a seven-game series?
They need to. And, you know, Dwayne Casey is a decent, you know, head coach that's not getting enough love. So we'll see what his Toronto Raptors do. And it's an important game for them too, right? They need to show that they're a legit team, that they can, even though Golden State is off of a back-to-back, that they can host a quality team and, you know, maybe win a series or two in the East. But in terms of Golden State, you're absolutely right. Not only do they have to prove that they're tough, but they have to prove that they can play somebody else's style, because their style is, at least historically, has been a lot about offense. Now, they've changed a little bit, and even Mark Jackson, who wasn't a great defense player himself, tried to get them to play more and more defense. But this is going to be – I mean, think about the series with Memphis. Think about the series maybe in the first round with San Antonio. Think about some of these other series. They're going to have to play the other team's style. And they're going to have to execute, and they're going to have to do things in the half court that they haven't really done. So you better start doing it now in March, because that West is so brutal that if this is your year, you better take advantage of it, right? The Clippers are banged up. San Antonio might be a little bit over the hill. Russell Westbrook is great, but Kevin Durant's not healthy. So if you're thinking, and maybe you say to yourself, you know what, Dwight Howard's not really healthy, and Portland's not really ready. So if you're Golden State, you know, even though you have a young team, that West is not going to get anything but harder. Anthony Davis, maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, turn it around. So this is your time. You better strike while the iron's hot. That's why we said we wanted to see them make a move. But this is your time. You got to go get your championship and make your run right now.
So one team that you didn't mention that I wanted to ask you about is Dallas. Obviously, the drama with the coach and Rondo, I don't think it's that big of a deal. suspended one game, you know, didn't listen to, you know, Carlisle in terms of calling a play. Do you think signing Amari, the Rondo piece, you know, their size, their scoring from Dirk and Monte, Amino plays, you know, pretty good. They've got, you know, Jefferson. They've got a lot of guys, Villanueva. Is Dallas a team that potentially, you know, when things do slow down in a seven-game series, a great game coach, in-game coach, is Dallas a team that could potentially sneak out of there?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I don't think they defend well enough. So when it comes down to it, it's going to be a game in the 80s in the playoffs, maybe in the low 90s if you run it up and you get an offensive team. And of those teams in the West, they're not Memphis. They're not even Houston. They're not Portland, San Antonio, even Oklahoma City. These guys can turn on the defense, right? So that's where Golden State.
But what about they got Rondo, Parsons, and Chandler on defense? That's not enough? And Aminu?
You know what? In theory, yes, but your best two players don't play deep, right? Monte Ellis and Dirk Nowitzki don't really play deep. I mean, they play okay, but they're not really, you know, stopping anybody in the playoffs. So you got Tyson Chandler who will grab you, you know, the defensive rebound, but you need Rondo. I think Rondo needs to set the tone on defense because if your point guard decides to play D, and he himself said he hasn't played D in 2 years, you know, before he got to Dallas. So assuming everything's okay,
I really don't trust.
Assuming everything's okay with the coach and everything with Carla, I just don't think they defend well enough. And I think at the end of the day, you know, Dirk is a half step slower, and Monte Ellis. I'm not sure they want Monte Ellis taking the last shot, but he might have to because he might be their best option. So I just think late game execution, I'm not sold on Dallas.
Right. And then we always talk about when you look at the playoffs, and, you know, Barkley says it all the time on TNT, and it's part of our philosophy. You know, you always get afraid of these jump shooting teams. And, you know, at least with the Blazers, their main go-to is LaMarcus, who can shoot and draw fouls and post. Lillard penetrates. With the Warriors, you worry because David Lee, who they've kind of put on the back burner as this bench guy, is really their best kind of post option, and he's not dominant or consistent. So basically you got, you know, Iguodala, the Splash Brothers, Barnes, and Green, five different guys that score all over the court, but they're not heavy volume free throw shooters. And at the end of the day, they'd much rather shoot a three. And I think that is going to bite the Warriors in the butt at the end. And so they could even lose in the 1-8 to OKC, even if Durant is just coming back healthy. They could lose to the Spurs. Do you know what I mean? That's where I think the Warriors, I feel like this roster is just missing, like, you know, I mean, they can't get a Zach Randolph, but that's who they, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's too many guys on the perimeter, and you kind of need one crazy horse, you know, to bring it home.
And think about it. In a seven-game series, think about the boxing analogy. You know, a Memphis or an Oklahoma City or a San Antonio, they can give you body blows. I'm not sure you can give them any body blows. You know what I mean? You might win, but you'll win because you're scoring 100 to 105. You had a great shooting night. You know, Steph Curry had 6 or 7 threes, and maybe Harrison Barnes gave you a little something, and Klay Thompson gave you 18, and so. But you're not really inflicting any pain on that other team. And in the seven-game series, they're going to grind you out. So you're right. I could see them losing in the first round. Maybe if they sneak through, losing in the second round. I mean, it's very, very possible. Like Golden State, an 800 team, gets knocked out. I could see them losing in 5. I mean, I'm not saying that's what I'm predicting. Depends on the
totally
matchup,
right.
But they could lose in 5.
Totally right. So a couple of stories. One thing, good games tonight also, right, besides the one I mentioned. You got the Clippers at the Grizzlies. That'll be interesting because the Clippers have done well without Blake Griffin. But the one I wanted to talk about, I want to talk about what Eric Bledsoe did last night. I thought, you know, almost having his triple-double with the 9 rebounds and, 13, 14 assists and 28 points. He kind of out-dueled Westbrook in a way because the team got the win. So he's learning how to be, like, the top dog with Goran being gone. But emotionally, tell me what you felt and what you thought about our boy, KG, coming back to Minnesota. They won the game. The crowd went crazy Wednesday night. And now he goes back tonight at Chicago, where, you know, he's from. Great story. And, you know, he's not going to give you much minutes or many points or rebounds or whatever. But what he'll do for this team, for teaching them, and such a young, talented roster, you got to feel good, you know, wearing number 21 again. I thought it was great to see KG back with the Timberwolves.
And with his boy Flip Saunders, too.
Mm-hmm.
Reunited, and it feels so good. So, you know, that's always a good story, especially given that the Nets weren't going anywhere. I mean, the Nets are basically, 23-32. So very, very disappointing. So good thing that Kevin Garnett gets to go where it all began. And you know what? Those are those stories in sports that they're few and far between, but when they do happen, it's really nice. You know what I mean? Most people go back to their team for one day, kind of one-day contract, and then retire with the team. It's great that the fans in Minnesota get to see Kevin Garnett for half a season.
Yeah, not just that, though. I mean, you got to be honest. You know, a savvy vet like that in practice and teaching them how to sort of prepare and win on the road, when these young guys don't stay 3-4 years in college anymore, don't even stay 2 years, I think that will speak volumes to Shabazz, to LaVine, to Wiggins, to Gorgie
Dang.
Exactly.
I was going to say the big men, even Anthony Bennett and Gorgie Dang.
Yes.
Give these guys a little bit of, even like an Adrian Payne, give these guys a little bit of Kevin Garnett in their ear. They're either going to hate him, or they're going to get much better.
Yeah, I think they're going to respect him because KG, there's something about him where you still – it's not just the jewelry. It's how ornery he is, but he relates to the guys. And I heard, I was watching the game, and from the bench he's calling out defensive rotations. So he's already like a coach on the floor. So I think it's great. And it's so funny that you said that because I almost forgot about it. Ray, they have a lot of good – I actually like the roster. Adrian Payne, Shabazz, Gorgie, Anthony Bennett. If these guys turn around to be what we thought they could be with their potential, Minnesota could be on the fast track to being a OKC in 2-3 years. Because Wiggins, I think, is a star. I think he's rookie of the year, and we've seen that he's legit. You saw when he dropped 30 on his birthday, when he turned 20, he scored 30 points.
I saw Andrew get wiggy with it. He is a guy, but you know what? I hope it's not a Kevin Garnett situation where he is, you know, out of the playoffs in the first round. I want to see this guy, you know, the West is so brutal, but I want to see them build a team around him and hopefully, you know, go far in the playoffs. We didn't get enough of him at Kansas, so hopefully in Minnesota he doesn't get, he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Out there.
Right. Well, I think they got a nice young – I think they're all developed together, so it should be exciting. So, listen, look, a lot of stuff is going on in sports. We got to talk about sort of the wild stuff in the NFL because we're headed towards March 2nd for franchise tags, March 10th, free agency, March 9th, I guess the new league year begins. In the last couple of days, I mean, there's been so much – start with Adrian Peterson and him being, reinstated, and the judge basically saying for the third time, the NFL is 0-3. Between Bounty Gate, Ray Rice, and Peterson, the judge has basically said, you guys went too far and made up the rules as you go, and I'm saying no. But does AP go play somewhere else? Can he? Can the Vikings renegotiate? Because they're not going to keep him for that deal. How does this play out for AP in your mind?
like anything else with sports, if you're really, really talented, the coaches are going to do everything in their power to keep you, the coaches and the GM. And unlike Ray Rice, I don't think that Adrian Peterson was is considered as toxic a situation.
Right, right, right.
Because I don't think anybody thinks he doesn't love his child. I think ultimately there will be some disagreements on how you discipline your child, but I don't think it's, you know, I think it's a situation where even the PR, so Ziggy Wolf's obviously going to be thinking about PR as well, selling those, you know, seats and licenses for the new stadium. But I think
it's all calmed down.
Yeah, it's all calmed down. And I think they're going to bring him back. I don't think you just let Adrian Peterson walk out the door. So to me, Adrian Peterson comes back to Minnesota. Now, maybe they use
this
leverage.
What if he
doesn't
want to play there? Because he felt like
the
trust is gone. I mean, what do you – or do you think the money will change that?
So that's the thing. So it all comes down to the money, right? Ultimately, they might try to leverage this and get him for less, but they better not get too cute because if you try to get him for less, he'll just bounce and go somewhere else. Because you've got to believe that of the 32 teams, everybody would want Adrian Peterson, and I would say 10 or 15 would offer him, you know, the money that he thinks he deserves.
Yeah, Colts, so, Cardinals, and Cowboys right off the bat would jump at him.
Oh, sure. There's so many teams out there, especially if he's willing to take a, you know, two-year deal, you know, something short in duration. I mean, you can't tell me that. Let's put it this way. You could probably count on one hand the teams that wouldn't be interested in Adrian Peterson, and that's probably because of salary cap issues or they have a, you know, prima donna running back that they don't want to anchor, a young prima donna running back.
Right. So let's talk about some of these guys that have gotten axed. A lot of them are near and dear to our hearts, you know, some vets. With the running backs, do you think these guys still have something left to contribute? So the Lions get rid of Reggie Bush, was injured a lot this year. You know, they got to sign Sue. They saved some cap money, still a lot of talent. And then Steven Jackson, who was a horse for the Rams, couldn't stay healthy for the Falcons, even though Ray would always draft him on his fantasy team for the last 2 years.
Oh.
Can Steven still help? I think I might put my money on Reggie. Not too sure if Steven Jackson will get a deal. Maybe, you know, a minimum deal at that at best.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Steven Jackson has much more in the tank because he's the type of big back that had taken so many hits because he was so good, because he was a three-out back, because he caught the ball out of the backfield, and because he ran upright. I think his best days are behind him. He's probably in that, I don't know if he's in that Maurice Jones-Drew category and a few others, but Reggie Bush is intriguing because with Reggie Bush, it's always been about health. And you thought that he found his little niche in Detroit and he plays on turf and he plays indoors. And as long as he's healthy, he was actually running in between the tackles for a little guy who's sick, but he's, you know, not the biggest guy. So to me, Reggie Bush, but then again, do you want to deal with the guy that's injured all the time, right? A la Darren McFadden, a la, you know, all these guys that are so healthy, when healthy, they're so talented and explosive. So with Reggie Bush, I think it's a matter of does the GM want to take that risk that you can't have him as your one, your number one back. Maybe he's your 1A or your number two, but you can't take the risk that your number one back is going to be out 4 or 6 games. You know, you just can't. But if you can get him, tell me Reggie Bush can't break open the playoffs. Tell me in week 15, 16,
I'll take him backing up Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, baby. I'll take me some Reggie Bush. So
yeah.
We got to talk about some of these other guys, too. You know, most recently, Brian Hartline from the Dolphins, Harry Douglas from the Falcons. You know, in terms of possession receivers, you know, they can maybe sign a one-year deal, help a roster a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you about one that was a little bit more controversial. D'Angelo Williams and his statements about what he said about the Panthers and the team, because I thought it was really fascinating when he spoke about his mother, and everybody knows, you know, he had dyed his hair pink and died of breast cancer. They said some kind words. Nobody came to the funeral except for Greg Hardy. I was like, wow, like, you know. And so I think D'Angelo was really obviously hurt and disappointed, but, you know, he hasn't stayed healthy, so I think the Panthers did the right thing. They go with Stewart to keep him. What does it say about the Panthers? But also, Greg Hardy is the one guy that shows up, and, you know, he went through so much in the offseason. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know. That's really weird, because you would think that it's one thing what happens on the field, your performance, because obviously you and I are very disappointed in that running back by committee. And we thought that when they got Mike Tolbert, that Tolbert, Stewart, and D'Angelo Williams would be the best running back trio in the league. You know, because Tolbert, they have him playing more fullback, but when he was in San Diego, he was doing fullback and, you know, halfback type of lining up in both of those positions. So forget about on the field, right? On the field, it just hasn't worked out. But that's a little disturbing off the field that you don't go to a guy. You know, I mean, who cares if he's on the roster or not? He's been part of your team for 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, that shows something weird on both sides. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Does that mean that he wasn't liked? Does that mean that there was some kind of blow up? But you would think it's one thing if the owners and the administration
go to the funeral for their mom.
Right, I know, and it's one thing if the, you know, GM and the owner don't go, but your players, your co-workers, you know what I mean? The guys you've been in the tree, your offensive linemen,
the guys
that handed you the ball, that's weird to me. That's it's disturbing, because it's like,
it is disturbing.
At the end of the day, football is a profession, it's a sport and everything, but
it's a family.
That's life. You know, that's life.
It's a family. You remember Wes Walker on our show. He said most of all he missed, you know, the locker room, the camaraderie, the friendships of the guys. Like, that's what most athletes, when you really talk to them, they admit, they're like, you know what, I miss the fellas. I miss the good times. And to me, like, that was huge. So two other things. Look, it doesn't look like anybody wants to trade for Sam Bradford, so it'll be fascinating to see what the Rams do in terms of, like, quarterbacks. Your boy Hasselbeck re-signs. He's got the best job in football as the backup to Andrew Luck, right? But this one's interesting. Josh McCown, Ray, he's in negotiations with the Bills. And he probably is, if we're being honest, the best free agent quarterback out there. Nobody really loves Hoyer, Sanchez, or Vic. Are the Bills jumping on him? And if they get the deal done, I haven't heard any final words yet, but if they get the deal done, are they sort of smart for doing it? Because it doesn't make sense to draft another QB and try to develop one, right? When you got EJ.
I don't know. I mean, you jumped on this early where you said, we both did it at draft night, but you said it ever since, that E.J. Manuel is not the answer. Mm-hmm. Now, Josh McCown is not the answer either. So
no.
He is a very solid quarterback. So if you've got a great defense, which they have, and you've got a very explosive, you know, running game, let's say, which they don't really have because of injury.
Everybody will be healthy, and they have decent receivers.
Yeah, they have great receivers. You know, Woods and Watkins and Chandler are going to turn out to be a nice little trio there. I don't know. See, I would look at it the other way around. I would say to myself, I have a chance to be a decent team in the AFC. Who knows what Denver's going to do with Peyton Manning's health? You know, Tom Brady has his fourth. Are they really still going to be hungry in New England? You know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh are kind of in transition, trying to get young, but trying to hold on to their, you know, some of their veterans. I would say to myself, if I'm Buffalo, I'm not sure that it's not worth going for the gusto this year. You know, try to get yourself a starting quarterback. There's a reason why he's a backup.
Well, who? Trade for Cutler? They can't take that Cutler salary. And would you want Sam Bradford?
I guess you're right. I would want Sam Bradford over Cam.
Oof, I don't know, because Sam doesn't stay on the field. So by week three,
that's
EJ will be playing. You know what I mean? You'll be like, oh, I got Sam Bradford. Oh, no, I got EJ. You might as well just, when you sign
Reggie Bush issue, yeah.
Right, right. So, Ray, when you sign Sam Bradford, you might as well also sign Sean Hill with him.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's unfortunate. The guy, if I'm the Rams, first of all, listen, as the contracts and free agency gets going, we'll see. A lot of guys are going to, you know, look, Fox has not confirmed that he wants to roll with Cutler. And Sam Bradford, they don't want to give him that contract for that bonus. So, and even with Peyton Manning, they're, you know, renegotiating because he's probably going to have to do a 2-year deal and lower that cap hit, $19 million. They don't want to give him that. They'll probably do like 16. So there's a lot of things that are going to play out in the next 2 weeks, and I cannot wait. It's going to be fascinating. And I just got to mention this before we leave the NFL. I don't know what's going on with your Cowboys because, to me, whether there's a tape or not in the Walmart parking lot, and my wife always says nothing good happens at Walmart. So, but at the Walmart parking lot, supposedly Dez Bryant dragging a woman from a car to this and that. This is 2011. Why, and the team already knew about it. Why in the heck is this coming out now in 2015 when you're negotiating a contract, Ray? Please tell me.
I don't know. I mean,
brother,
I think it's dollars and cents. They're trying to shave a few million off his contract.
That's
by doing
ugly.
This. But you're right, though. That's not cool. I mean, offer what you think he's worth,
yeah.
But don't do this. I mean, you know, if you don't want to max the guy out, if you want to convince him that he needs to take a little less because he put so much money into Tony Romo and you still need to upgrade a little bit, you know, here and there, and you got to lock down the offensive line and you got to maybe make some tweaks on defense and you got to find a replacement for Jason Witten. I get all that. But don't bring this up. You know what I mean? Just be a man about it and say, look, we can't give you the money that you want, Dez. We love you, and you're the man. We're operating within a salary cap. The cap's going to go up by $3 million this year. Not enough to give you the, you know, to be the highest paid receiver. This is what we can do. But,
right,
because
then
go out.
Yeah. No, you're right, because when you do that, you lose them for the long term, right? Because mentally, when you do that to a guy – yeah, you franchise him for 13 this year, and I guess you can do it one last time for it would be like 15 or 16 the following year. But then you think he's going to stay with you? He's going to go. And he's still young enough that after two more seasons, someone will give him a 3-4 year deal for buku bucks because Dez is young, in great shape, and besides Megatron and A.J. Green doesn't stay healthy, and neither does Megatron, Dez might be the best wide receiver in football.
Yeah.
It's just not smart. I you know. Hey, Ray, we did forget to mention a legendary, I guess, the you know, with Black History Month, the first African-American to play in the NBA, Earl Lloyd passed away. Remember Earl Lloyd, 86. So that's, you know, a historian and a legend, I guess, played for the Celtics. So, you know, rest in peace for him. And then the president of Notre Dame had passed away. He, you know, been around with the Eisenhower regime and has been around the Pope. And what's his name? Hesselman or something. He's been, you know, these are guys, 97, I think. So these are guys that are, I guess, legends.
35 years.
Oh, yeah, Notre Dame, yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, just wanted to say a little shout out and thank you for, you know, all that they've done because he, you know, he did stuff with Dr. King and a lot of stuff, the guy from Notre Dame. So, you know, these guys are giants in, you know, the sports world, whether it be college or pro. And speaking of college, can I hit you with some beats, though, before we come back and talk college hoops? Because something happened this week, Ray. Before we get into these weekend games, something happened this week that got me real hyped and made me feel like I wanted to storm a court. Ray and Tay, college hoops. We'll be right back.
Right on.
Right on. We're back, and we're back to talk some college hoops. And you know what? It's the last weekend in February, which means when we're back with you on Monday, it's going to be March, and we're going to talk some March madness right now. And I'll just turn the floor over to you. Talk to us about your Maryland Terrapins.
Can I get a yo, Terps? Yo, I'm talking from Big Tigger, Torrey Smith, Sean Merriman, Vernon Davis, Scott Van Pelt, all the Terps. I mean, Frank Reich, everybody, Boomer Esiason, yo, Terps, stand up. That was a great, and don't let me forget Joe Smith, X-Ray Hip, Juan Dixon, Steve Blake. That was a great program win. The Maryland Terrapins come into the Big Ten, and in their first season, they've swept Michigan State. They beat Wisconsin. They have this, they're in second place in the Big Ten. Ray, they take care of Frank the Tank, who, oh, by the way, I didn't know this because everybody's been killing Seth Davis. Even Van Pelt mentioned it, and all the Terp fans are tweeting him. He did not rank them in the top 25 when in the AP they were ranked 13th. So Seth has been hating, and that's our boy, and he's from that area. Seth's been on our show, and remember, in the summer, he told us how great Wisconsin was going to be. Well, Seth, we took down Wisconsin. We beat up the bad. Show some love for the Terps. I had to tweet at him, Ray. You know, show some love for the Terps. What did you think about the win, man? Because Dez and Mello balled out for Maryland. Big win.
I got to give Maryland some credit. I was underrating them. They are doing their thing. I really want to see how they do in this Big 12 tournament. They don't know the teams. I mean, they know them because they played some of them this year. But if they play their cards right, you know, they can definitely be a number three seed in the tournament. And if they were to go big, big, deep into the Big Ten tournament, maybe win it all, they could be a number two seed. So they'll be probably three. You know, if they bow out early, maybe four. But yeah, your Terps, man, I give you guys credit. Taking down Wisconsin, hey, what can I say, man? Yo, I'll give you a yo, Terps. I'm a Carolina guy, but I'll give you a yo, Terps.
Well, it's funny, right? Because there was a couple of upsets this week, right? And everybody was upset about Kansas State and beating Kansas and storming the court. And look, I've done it, so I don't think you should take it away from the kids. It's like a rite of passage. But guess what? Do it with safety. Somebody's going to get killed, and a coach shouldn't be pressed up. Bill Self was pressed up against the scorer's table. That's insane. Have the security guards out there. Get the players off the floor, the visiting team, and let the kids go on the court. It's a celebration, you know?
Well, you know what? I agree with you, but you're right, though. Somebody's going to get, God forbid, and I hope this never happens, but right, Somebody's going to get hurt real bad.
And kids have been hurt before. It's just not been all
the time. They're going to ban it. And you're right. It's nobody's fault. It's just the fact that there's too many people too quickly rushing onto the court. So I don't know if there's like a rush to court protocol, but we need to get one real fast, because every time this happens, I hold my breath, and maybe I'm getting older, and maybe, you know, old fogey. But I'm like, please, nobody get hurt. Just have fun. Just jump up and down and, you know, have a great time with your home team. But just nobody get hurt, please.
So, Ray, on a sad note, I mean, look, we love Patino and respect Louisville. That whole story with the kid, Chris Jones, obviously being charged with sodomy and rape. I mean, it's wow. And then the Vanderbilt coach, you know, I'll kill you to the player, threatening him, apologizes. I mean, you know, what's going on? I mean, you know, and then I laugh, right? Because this will make you laugh. On the other side, the world slipped upside down. The llamas are taking over Twitter and the news out here in Arizona and Sun City. You got llamas on the run. And then you got Kanye West apologizing to Beck and Bruno Mars. Kanye never apologizes. So is there a full moon for like this whole week in the world of sports and in our world? What's going on, Ray?
You know what? We might have to go to like the Gregorian calendar or check out the Incas or the Mayas. Or something like that. Because,
well, happy Chinese New Year, the year of the goat. I mean, is it because it's all about the goat?
Maybe it's the GOAT, right? We talked about Earl Manning, GOAT. You know, I don't know what's going on. You're right, but there's some funny stuff happening in the air. You know, this whole Vanderbilt thing, I saw it unfold last night. I'm thinking to myself, Gene Stallings, I get where he's going because the kid was disrespectful, apparently, to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But then he totally flipped out, and so the whole point was that
he lost it, man.
He was trying to instill discipline, which is fine. I get that, and that's a good thing. You know, he wanted to be sportsmanship, and apparently this kid, this freshman, has had some issues with sportsmanship. But then he totally didn't act like an adult and didn't act like a coach should act. So now you got both guys are wrong, and it shed even more bad light on Vanderbilt. So if you're the GM right now, what are you doing? You're thinking of, what the heck just happened to me last night, you know? I just hope both guys learn from this and both guys figure out that, look, you know, we both need to make some improvements. It starts with the player, you know, doing the right thing and being a sport, but it also coach needs to say, look, I'm the adult here and I need to take responsibility. And guess what, folks? There are cameras and mics everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, you know.
Hello?
you just can't do that.
So you said it best. Now let's talk about these games, and the thing you said is true. Learn from this. Everything in life should be an opportunity to learn. So, couple things. I want to throw out some games to you because I think we're going to have some more upsets. I don't think Arkansas is going to win at Kentucky. You got to watch that. Baylor, West Virginia. When you're talking 19-20 and the Big 12, that's going to be some really good basketball. What are your thoughts about those two matchups right off the bat?
Oof, you know what? This is a good weekend. This is a weekend that you get to see what teams are all about. You get to see if teams are getting ready to be legitimate for their tournament,
March.
Right? You guys are hosting Michigan. You guys, you know,
yeah.
Michigan might give you some trouble. But you know, and by the way, keep an eye on quiet is kept. You're right. I don't think Arkansas is going to beat Kentucky. I think Kentucky will win pretty easily. Although Arkansas has some size in the backcourt that Kentucky usually with the Harrison twins, you know, and their depth, they are bigger than everybody else. So. Not only the bigger than everybody's in the front court, which is always the case, but also in the backcourt. But this Arizona team, Arkansas team, has some backcourt size they can turn you over. But keep an eye on the Northern Iowa-Wichita State game, right? This is a game that's going to determine who's going to win the regular season title in the Missouri Valley Conference. And also, the winner of that game is going to be a top-10 team. I mean, you're talking about potentially if it all works out, and maybe there's some upsets in the Big Six conferences. This might be a number two seed, the winner of this game, if they can run the table in the Missouri Valley Conference. So keep an eye on that. Like you said, Baylor,
but
West Virginia,
Utah, Ray, out here in the West Side, that's a big game.
Arizona, Utah, West Virginia, Baylor. Yeah. So Utah, did you know? I didn't even know this until I started to do some research. But you know who the Utah coach is?
I don't remember. I forgot. I saw
it. Former NBA player.
It's not Van Horn.
No, it's Larry Krystowiak.
Oh, yes. The old Milwaukee Buck, baby.
Yes.
Oh, that warms my heart. Yeah, there was a couple of random things that I noticed that I meant to mention to you. That's great. That's awesome right there. That one, and you know, Popeye Jones's son plays in the NHL, I think, for, was it Nashville? Seth Jones. Did you know about that?
Are you serious?
Yes, Popeye Jones's son is in the NHL, baby.
Popeye's son plays on the ice. Okay.
So,
these
are great little things here. What about Duke? Syracuse has had some upsets. You know, Duke almost lost to Virginia Tech the other night, had to go to overtime. You know, Brigham Young against Gonzaga. Somebody might get chipped off this weekend. Is it Villanova at Xavier? What are you feeling? Who's got a
shot? I tell you who needs a victory. We called them out 2 weeks ago.
Texas
needs a victory pretty badly.
Yeah, you're right.
Deep on the bubble, so they need.
This is their season right here. They've got to
be. I wouldn't be surprised if Syracuse, you know, and Rakeem Christmas, they played Duke okay up there in the Carrier Dome. I don't know if they can do it at Cameron, but I think they'll make it a close game. You know, in terms of upsets, I'm looking at the board and I'm trying to see who can spring an upset.
I got a little bit one for you at number 25. How about Marquette over Providence?
Possible, yeah. Sure. Can BYU beat Gonzaga?
Well, that's
BYU.
That'll...
Go in there.
Remember, St. Mary's almost knocked them off.
Yeah, Gonzaga's been playing, you know, a little bit like Kentucky midseason, where they were getting challenged by teams that they shouldn't be challenged by. So we'll see if BYU's got their number today.
Now, is Georgetown St. John's this weekend, or is that next week? I know Georgetown St. John's play again. Both teams are I think St. John's in 19-9, or if they won this week, they might be 20-9. They're right on that verge, Ray. I think the Johnnies are going to make the tournament this year, along with
Georgetown.
Yeah,
they don't play this weekend.
I think
so
it's next week.
Maybe it's later in the week, yeah. You know, most of the projections have St. John's in right now.
Yes.
So, you know, right now they're probably about a 10 seed, 11 seed at worst. So they're squarely on the bubble but in. Obviously a win over Georgetown and maybe another quality win in the Big East, that would be good for them. So how sweet is that to have our St. John's Red Storm back in the tournament? Think about the teams that were historically, you know, our teams, but think about them back in the tournament, right? Georgetown's going to be in the tournament for sure. St. John's, hopefully, is going to be in the tournament. You know,
Villanova.
All those Big East teams. Villanova, yeah, absolutely. Providence, you know, the old Big East is representing strong. And obviously, you've got some of these new Bucks coming in, taking up some of these spots, like we talked about, you know, the Northern Iowas of the world. Those are going to be some good.
Butler's a solid team. They're at DePaul. Butler is one of those teams that people don't mention, and they're, you know, ranked number 23. Now, listen, how about Richmond beating VCU this week? And having a great game and maybe, you know, getting themselves considered for the tournament. But Dayton, VCU's got to watch out for Dayton this weekend. That could be an upset. And obviously Sean Miller's brother, Miller's the coach there, great coach for Dayton. And they had a great tournament run last year, remember?
True. And another thing to look out for is UCLA. They are squarely on the bubble. And they need to win a couple games to get into this tournament. Can you imagine? UCLA doesn't even make the tournament. Steve Alford is going to be quite under the hot seat if they don't make this tournament this year.
Can Michigan State, by any chance, could they get off of that momentum that Maryland took down Wisconsin? And can Michigan State upset Wisconsin? Does Izzo have one last hope in him?
I think so. I don't know that I would predict it, but I think so.
Yeah.
Michigan State is one of those teams that you never bet against. You know, if you're a betting man, it doesn't even matter the spread. It doesn't matter the over-under. Don't touch Michigan State.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. So, you know, we're getting ready to wrap it up. We're getting ready for a great sports weekend. I'm over here celebrating Wifey's birthday, so, you know, we're going to paint the town out here in Arizona. But got to shout out the wife's birthday. But I got to ask you, with Josh Hamilton, spring training starting, and, you know, you see these contracts of these guys, and, you know, and – look, everybody's wishing him well. You know, he's sort of self-reported, back with drugs and alcohol and had a relapse. And we wish him well. But Is baseball ever going to stop these ridiculous contracts that is not like football? They actually pay these contracts out. You know, you still got the A-Rod deal, which we got to believe in 09, they knew he was doing something. I still believe the Yankees knew, but just were hoping he didn't get caught. But, I mean, what do you think about the Angels? Are they already shot, you know? I mean, obviously he was rehabbing Hamilton, and it seems like every time he's hurt and rehabbing, he has a relapse. What are your thoughts about Hamilton and the Angels and you know, starting off spring training on that sour note for that roster and that team?
Yeah, well, not only that, but Richards got hurt, so he's coming back off injury. And Pujols, you don't know which Pujols you're going to get. Another guy that they signed to a huge contract. And
yeah.
The St. Louis Cardinals were like, look, we got to let this guy go. And the St. Louis Cardinals went out and won themselves a World Series. So after he left. So
yeah.
To me,
look, we got to let this guy go.
I don't like these long-term contracts, and I think they will be relegated to the really young studs. So the Mike Trouts of the world, the Kershaws of the world, I think Giancarlo Stanton got paid way too much. I wouldn't do that as a GM. But you know what? That's what crazy sports GM maneuvering and agent is all about. So, but back to Josh Hamilton, you know, you feel for the guy. Once you have substance abuse issues, it's always there. You know what I mean? You could fall off the wagon at any point in time. And in the first few years at Texas and even, I guess, when he first got to the Angels, he was on his P's and Q's. But it's hard every single day to fight that demon inside you, you know? So he tried, and, you know, maybe he's had some minor lapses before. I think he mentioned that once or twice he did. But you feel for the guy, you know, and obviously the NFL, the MLB is going to come down on him, and they should because, you know, he's got to pay the price like everybody else. But the guy has a problem. So you hope that, first and foremost, that he solves his problem. And you better do it quickly because, you know, Father Time's going to catch up to him, too. He's not the young kid anymore.
Oh, he's like 34?
Yeah, who has the great story and has that beautiful swing and that home run derby with Justin Morneau. I mean, that was what, like 6 years ago already, 7 years ago. So it's time to, you know, he needs to give us for himself, right, the 3-4 more good years that he has being potentially an elite player. And then that's it. That's a harsh reality of sports.
No, definitely. And I got to say, you know, A-Rod's been doing and saying all the right things, so we'll see how that plays out. Your boy Adam Wainwright's got a little injury, so they don't know if he'll
might miss opening day.
And then it just came out, Kyrie will be out for tonight's game against the Pacers. Maybe he'll play Sunday against the Rockets with his shoulder that he hurt last night in the game. So, you know, look, there's a lot going on, injuries, all this stuff. I think it's going to be a great sports weekend. To me, the must-see is that Cavs-Rockets game on Sunday because you just really want to see LeBron and Harden go at it. And when is Dwight Howard coming back? Do you even know? Like, it's just weird to me.
I'm not sure, and it's too bad. I mean, in some ways it makes for a stronger case for James Harden for MVP, but you never want – talented player like that who might impact the playoffs to be out so long. So come on back, Dwight. Get healthy and let's go.
Yeah. Well, listen, great show. Everybody, thanks for listening. Have a great sports weekend. We'll be back strong on Monday. College hoops, some MLB, and of course, you know, the NBA, and I'm sure there'll be more NFL moves and free agency cuts. You know?
Sure, but let me ask you a question, though. What month is it?
March Madness, baby. Comes in like a lamb. Comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. No, comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion, something like that.
Well, March, we're going to cover March it Madness. Start to finish. Yeah, we're going to get our March Madness in full effect. We're going to do our brackets. We're going to give you our predictions. So stay with us. Come check us out on Monday. Have a great sports weekend.
Give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me a statement, I might spread the word.